Hey, Grace Point family, wherever you are today, at the St. John's campus, the Owosso campus, or our online campus, I am so glad that you are joining us for part three of our series, I Said This, You Heard That. In this series, we've been discovering what God says about the power of our words, and how, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can make some strategic decisions that will transform our communication with each other. One of the things that I find very interesting is that since we were little kids, we've been hearing about the power of words. We may not have realized it, but we've been hearing about it. There's a little phrase that most of us have heard since we were little kids about the power of words. It's been repeated over and over again. In fact, sometimes it almost seems like it's biblical. It goes like this. You probably can repeat it with me from memory. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Can I just tell you, that phrase is a lie. It is not biblical truth. In fact, Scripture tells us over and over again that words are powerful and incredibly important. In fact, the words that you and I possess are some of the most powerful weapons we could ever have. Here's what really is true. We recover far quicker from physical wounds than we do emotional wounds. Now, it's very likely that you know this from personal experience. We've said each Sunday during this series that research shows us that for every positive word that you and I experience in our lives each day, we usually hear six negative, critical, or complaining words. And we wind up living out of balance because we hear so many more difficult, negative, complaining words, and it overwhelms the positive words in our life. And so we wind up as human beings playing over and over again these negative words in our mind, and we find ourselves living with emotional wounds for years or even decades. Words are powerful. Now, I think most of us would probably say, I don't want to use my words as a weapon, and I don't want to be on the receiving end of words that hurt. We want to do better. We want to stop using our words to hurt each other. So, with that thought, we have been looking at this challenge from Scripture that could help us transform our communication. And the foundational verse we've been using is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And I want to invite you just to look at it and read it out loud with me just to help get these words into our mind and into our heart. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Words that cause emotional wounds, these negative words, these words, they fit into what Paul calls unwholesome talk. We've discovered that Paul's use of the word unwholesome really has two meanings. The first meaning is that we sometimes use words that are just simply unhelpful. They're useless. They're of no value. They're of no real benefit. They're just unhelpful words. Now, when we think about these kinds of words and avoiding them, I think something that we realize is this, that there's a disconnect sometimes between what we say and what other people hear. And that disconnect is not always because somebody's just being a jerk. It might be because their temperament is just simply different than ours. And we've discovered that our temperaments shape what we say and how we hear what is said. So as we think about avoiding unhelpful words, we've invited you to really explore and discover your temperament as well as the temperament of the people around you. And we think that as we understand each other better, understand ourselves better, we'll actually be able to transform the way we communicate with each other. It's exciting to think about how this could make a difference in our lives going forward. We want to avoid unhelpful words. But there's a whole other category of words that falls under that unwholesome category, and it's unhealthful words. And friends, that's where I want us to spend a couple of minutes today. There are words that are just unhealthful. They hit us like an emotional bomb or like a hammer. They wound us, they bruise us, they damage us, they're toxic. And Scripture is very clear that these words actually are weapons. We weaponize our words. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "The words of the reckless, they pierce or cut like a sword, but the words of the wise bring healing." In Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, "A harsh word stirs up anger." In Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." And in James chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, the Message translation puts it this way: "By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it." When I read those words, I think, man, the Holy Spirit was definitely not worried about being politically correct when He inspired those writers to pen those words. But we know those descriptions, as challenging as they are, we know they are true. There are words that feel like somebody has just picked up a hammer and they have just started beating on us. We know what that feels like. We know what it's like when somebody catches us off guard or somebody close to us just picks up a word that's like a hammer and just hits us, and we can feel it penetrate almost to the very depths of our soul. We know what it's like to be on the receiving end of those kind of words. But we also have to be honest and say there are times when we've been the ones holding the hammer. And we've been the ones that have used our words to hit somebody, to bruise them, to try to tear them down and to injure them, to hurt them. Now let me just pause and remind you that when we talk about using words as weapons, we're not saying that we should avoid every difficult conversation. There are times when difficult conversations are required. And we're going to have to discuss sometimes very difficult, challenging things with people that we love and people that we care about. But I need to remind you, there is a huge difference between having a difficult conversation that is ultimately going to be helpful, it's ultimately going to build them up, it's ultimately going to benefit the one who's listening. There's a huge difference between that and using our words as a hammer to just sort of beat someone into submission or cut them down to size, as we might say. Ultimately, Scripture reminds us, we choose the words that we use. Remember, Paul says, don't let unwholesome stuff come out of your mouth, but instead say those things that are helpful, that build up, that benefit those who listen. We choose the words we use. So if we're going to get real honest and thoughtful about choosing to avoid words that we can damage other people with, words that are unhealthful, words that are toxic, then we need to ask ourselves a question: what would cause us to use our words as a weapon? What would actually cause us to do this? Jesus has a powerful answer to that question. I want to point you to a conversation that's written down for us in Luke chapter 6. Verses 43 through 45. Luke is the one who writes it down. He's a doctor, he's a historian, and he writes down a conversation that Jesus is having with a huge crowd of people and his disciples. And Jesus says these words in Luke 6, verse 43, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Now let me ask you just to key in on that last phrase. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus is saying that what comes out of us is an indicator of what's being stored up inside of us. A good, a healthy tree, it produces good, healthy fruit. And the opposite is true. Something can look healthy, give the appearance of health, but if the fruit that is produced is bad, then there's something wrong on the inside. There's something wrong beneath the surface. And Jesus is really saying, when we use our words as weapons, it's an indicator that something is wrong on the inside. There's something beneath the surface that's coming out of us, that's causing us to use our words in a harmful way, in a toxic way. So according to Jesus, if we are going to choose to not let unwholesome words come out of our mouth, if we are going to choose to not use our words as weapons, what we need to do first is begin to look inside. Because it's what's inside of us that causes us to weaponize our words. Now, we could list a whole variety of reasons why some of us are prone to weaponize our words. But I just want to mention four reasons why we do this sometimes. Four things that might be inside of us that cause us to weaponize our words. Sometimes we use our words as weapons because we've been hurt. We've been hurt. We've all heard the phrase that hurting people hurt other people. And sadly, that is a very true statement. When people lash out, when they use vicious words, when they pick up a hammer and start beating us up emotionally, it often flows from their own pain. Someone said something or did something that they've never fully been able to move beyond or deal with. And so it's this sort of open, festering wound that eventually becomes a full-blown infection that begins to affect people around them. Usually, when we have been hurt, what's being stored inside of us is anger. We're angry at the situation. We're angry at the person. We're angry at the circumstance. We're angry at the continuing feelings that we have. We've not been able to offer forgiveness or experience healing of the hurt, and so it just continues to fester inside of us. And when anger festers inside of us, it just breeds more anger and more anger and more anger, and it turns into bitterness and hatred, and we weaponize our words when we store up anger inside. We weaponize our words when we are discontent or not content. There's perhaps a desire for someone or something or some place different than our current reality, and it can become a consuming feeling. Unhappiness begins to take over, and we find ourselves taking shots at other people who we think have what we want or we deserve. And feelings of discontentment, they usually come when we are storing up envy in our hearts. Envy is a deadly motivator. It can't stand to see anyone else succeed. And it calls into question the motives of anyone who does appear to be successful, because we want what they have. We weaponize our words when we don't feel safe, when we feel vulnerable. Now, this is not about feeling safe physically, but rather feeling safe emotionally. We feel like somebody has violated our emotional space, or we feel emotionally vulnerable, or we feel threatened, and so we lash out. And interestingly enough, this feeling of not being safe usually comes when we are storing up insecurity in our heart. Insecurity is that awkward lack of confidence that makes you too aggressive in some settings because you're overcompensating, or it makes you too passive in others. Insecurity makes us feel threatened by almost everything and everyone. Insecurity and fear, they go hand in hand. They're frequent companions. And insecurity will make you fear people who are more gifted than you or better than you, or it will make you fear people who simply disagree with you. So insecurity, it causes us to lash out, to undermine, to belittle, to make jokes, to put somebody else down, because we're trying to make ourselves feel better and look better. When we store insecurity in our hearts, we weaponize our words. Let me give you one more. We use our words as weapons when we're hiding something. When there are hidden things in our life, we find ourselves saying things and doing things to keep others from finding out our secret. We use words as weapons to keep people from getting too close, because if they get too close to us, they might discover what's beneath the surface. And usually when we're hiding something, it's because we're storing up guilt and shame. There's stuff inside that we don't want anybody to know about. And if you've ever found yourself dragging around a huge load of guilt over what you've done or what you've said or what you've experienced, over your faults or your failures or your indiscretions or flat-out sin, if you've ever found yourself dragging around that load of guilt and shame, then you know it is such a heavy weight. It saps our emotional strength. It drives some people into depression. It's haunting. It can sabotage every new or good thing in our lives. We weaponize our words when we are hiding things and we are full of guilt and shame. Jesus said, if you're struggling with using your words as weapons to beat people up, to cut people down, to put people in their place, if you're struggling in that area, he said, then you need to take a look inside, because it's out of your heart, it's out of what's inside of you that your words are coming. There's an old proverb that many of us know, Proverbs 4:23, that points to this same truth. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. In the biblical perspective, the heart is literally the hub of your life. Everything we experience is processed through our hearts, the good, the bad. Life just sort of comes at us from all directions, but it gets processed through the heart. I like what Andy Stanley said. He says, the heart seeps into every conversation. It dictates every relationship. Our lives emanate from the heart. We live, we parent, we lead, we relate, we romance, we confront, we react, we respond, we instruct, we manage, we problem solve, and we love, all from our heart. And our heart impacts our communication. Our heart has the potential to exaggerate our sensitivities and our insensitivities. Every arena of life just sort of intersects with what's going on in the heart. And the writer of Proverbs says you need to guard your heart. You need to take an evaluation of your heart. You need to guard it against all of those things that would cause you to store up stuff inside of you that's going to come out in words being used as weapons. Let's go back to the words of Jesus one more time. He says the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If you find yourself regularly using words as weapons, I want you to know that there is help available. If you find yourself regularly using words as weapons, there is something even beyond help. There is healing that is available. Healing available for what's inside of you or what's inside of me that's causing us to use our words to wound others. You see, I believe that Jesus brings up this truth because he knows that with his help, we can disarm our words. We can be people who are honest about what's going on inside of us. And as we're honest about what's going inside of us, the power of Jesus can transform that and bring healing, so that when we speak from the inside out, we're speaking words of help and encouragement and words that benefit the people around us, as opposed to words that are weapons. But in order to make the shift from using words as weapons to using words that are helpful, then we're going to have to be very honest about what's going on inside. And I'd love for you just to spend a moment with me today, wherever you are, just thinking through a couple of questions that might help us disarm our words. The first question I'd love for you to consider this morning or today is, what are you storing up in your heart? What actually is in your heart? Maybe you've discovered that there's a lot of hurt there that's manifesting itself in anger. Maybe you've discovered there's a lot of discontentment, and it's causing envy or it's breeding envy of other people and other things. Maybe you just feel vulnerable emotionally. You don't feel safe, and it comes from insecurity inside of you. Or maybe you find yourself in one of those situations where there's stuff inside that nobody knows about that you've been hiding. And in trying to keep people away, to not see the guilt or the shame, you've used your words as weapons to keep people distanced from you for fear they might actually see the real you. The writer of Psalm 139, verse 23, said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's something inside of me that's wicked or sinful or un-Christ-like," is what he's saying. And really, what the writer is saying is, God, help me know what's in my own heart. God already knows. God, help me acknowledge what's in my own heart so that I can let you help me deal with it, so I can let you heal it, and I can move forward healthy on the inside so that the things I say are helpful to the people around me. What are you storing in your heart? As you let God's Spirit really help you understand what's inside, the next question we need to consider is this: am I willing to surrender what's in my heart to God? Am I actually willing to surrender it to Him? That doesn't mean that I pray one prayer and I'm immediately no longer angry or I don't have a problem with envy. It doesn't mean that I pray one prayer asking for God's help and I no longer feel insecure or unsafe or that I never will struggle with a guilt. One prayer may not do that for you, or one prayer might do that for you. You see, we know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. And sometimes, opening your heart and surrendering whatever's inside to God, you can experience immediate change and immediate healing. More likely, while God forgives sin immediately, it may take conversations, it may take continual prayer, it may take counseling, it may take some difficult, challenging moments with people around you to actually work through other feelings that are there. But I want you to know the first step in finding healing, the first step in being able to deal with what's on the inside, is to surrender it to God. Acknowledge it and surrender it to Him. And then as you surrender those things to Him, you go to the next question, which is, what will I fill my heart with now? What am I going to put inside of me now that will allow me to be healthy and whole and actually speak to the people around me with words that are helpful and encouraging and build them up? I think there's some great instruction from Psalm 119, verse 11. The writer says, "I have hidden your word, God, in my heart so that I might not sin against you." God's word and God's truth keeps us in the right focus, the right direction, gives us the right guidelines for living, and points us to the truth, always, everywhere, in any situation. So we need to fill our hearts and our minds with God's truth. And that can look like picking up your Bible and reading it, or opening your phone app, a Bible app on your phone, every morning or every evening whenever you read Scripture, and putting some of God's Word into your heart and into your life. It can look like not only digging into Scripture, but it can look like listening to good music that communicates those same kinds of truths to you and putting that into your heart and putting that into your mind. It can look like being a part of a group of people that are all following Jesus together and doing life together, and so you encourage each other and you walk the journey together. There's so many ways that you can put the right stuff into your heart, but you have to be strategic. You have to answer the question, what am I going to fill my heart with now? Because if you just open it up to anything, the wrong things will probably come inside. And you and I have to be very strategic about making sure we fill our heart with the right truth, filling our heart with God's truth that will enable us to continue to be healthy and whole and transformed, so that we can be people who are actually speaking words into the lives of others that are not weapons, but that are actually helpful and build them up and benefit everyone who listens. I want to encourage you just to take a moment or two before you leave the building today, or before you move on to other activities, and just ask God to help you walk through these questions so that you can be a person that chooses to not use your words as weapons, but chooses to use your words in a Christ-like, helpful, encouraging way. I'd like to pray for you as you think through these questions. So Jesus, we are so grateful for the truth that you speak to us today. The truth that you remind us of, that says that it's what's inside of us that causes the unhealthy or the healthy things to come out of us. And so I pray that you would help us just to be honest before you today. And may we not reason away the moments where we have lost control and we've used our words as weapons. And may we not fall into the trap of saying, well, they deserved it, or I just needed to get that off my chest, or they needed to be knocked down a peg or two, or they needed to hear the hard truth. May we never reason away when we have used our words like weapons. Because God, that's not your plan. That's not your desire for us. You have called us to use our words in helpful, encouraging ways that benefit those around us. And so I pray that you would help us to be honest about what's inside, that sometimes comes out in an unhealthy way. And I pray that you would help us as we acknowledge what's going on inside of us, that we would surrender whatever that is to you. And that we would even begin today to experience the healing that your Spirit can bring into our hearts and into our lives. Maybe there's some of us today who've been carrying around a load and guilt and shame for sin in our life. And you offer us forgiveness today and freedom from that guilt and shame. And I pray that you would help those of us in that situation to open our hearts to you and to receive your gift of forgiveness and a new direction for life. We pray, Jesus, that as we thoughtfully and prayerfully consider these truths today, that you would help us to be honest about who we are before you, to surrender who we are to you, and to allow your truth and your Spirit to transform our lives. And we pray that you would help us in all of these ways. In Jesus' name, amen.